Just about 1 year ago, the local pastor of First Presbyterian Church in downtown Boise, the Reverend Andrew Kukla, wrote a post for his blog. You know, the minister's blog that you post it on Facebook and Twitter, and maybe 10 people read it, your family and a couple congregants. Maybe 20 if you're lucky. His blog was titled, I Heart Planned Parenthood. And he wrote unapologetically about his love for Planned Parenthood and the work they do in the world, calling their work ministry, fighting for life. Those were his words. He called them resurrection workers. It was right around Easter time when he wrote his post. He saw them as people dedicated to promoting life in a place all too often named a tomb. Well, as it turned out, his I Heart Planned Parenthood blog post was retweeted by the Planned Parenthood Federation of America and Cecile Richards herself, their executive director. And it kept going from there. Some of you might remember this story, and as you can imagine, a small firestorm ensued. The blog post was picked up by two pro-life websites with excerpts reposted and then virulently attacked. It was then picked up by the Huffington Post. Reverend Kukla's faith and ministry was attacked, as was his fitness for pastoring a church, a Christian church. The church received hateful voicemails, and vengeful pro-life supporters stalked their Facebook page, commenting on every picture and post that he was leading his congregation straight to hell. I heard that a few of his congregants left the church, although he shared with me that most were very supportive, albeit a little bit nervous. And yet, in his post and in his ministry that continued, Reverend Kukla was clear that his vision of faith was about grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And the people of Planned Parenthood embodied those qualities deep in their core. Their work, he said, is about the building up of those whom life has torn down, helping those who don't know where to turn, and offering options and even hope to people who were shut down and shamed at the other doors available. This is the best description of ministry I have heard in a long time. Reverend Kukla wrote the post after being invited along with several other local clergy to have a tour of the local Planned Parenthood clinic and a recap of the legislative session, thinking about the year ahead. And he shared with me how impressed he was at the heart the people, the staff had for the work that they do under such scrutiny, suspicion, and hate. Hate which he then felt firsthand, which had no space for nuance or shades of gray, only demonization and righteous condemnation. No room for God's love, or for any love, it seems. The kind of hate which continues today. I share this story with you because what Reverend Kukla's post points to is that the ministry of Planned Parenthood runs wide and deep, covering so much more than the one issue on which our society is myopically focused. Their mission slogan reads, care, no matter what. The ministry of Planned Parenthood also deeply connects with our Unitarian Universalist values. I think you can hear it in the care, no matter what. Our values of equality, of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, of dignity and worth and justice for all. Planned Parenthood is rooted in the courage and tenacity of American women and men willing to fight for women's health, women's rights, and equality. They trace their roots back to the founder, Margaret Sanger, one of the movement's great sheroes. Together with her sister and a friend, Sanger opened America's first birth control clinic in Brooklyn, New York, in 1916. In Sanger's America, women cannot vote, cannot sign contracts, cannot have bank accounts, and cannot divorce abusive husbands. They cannot control the number of children they have or obtain information about birth control, because in the 1870s, a series of draconian measures called the Comstock Laws made contraception illegal and declared information about family planning and contraception obscene. For more than 100 years, in the years that followed, the foundation of Planned Parenthood has centered around the values of equality, women's freedom to make all kinds of choices about our bodies, health care, and access to education and current information. And I am proud that our Unitarian Universalist Association has stood by Planned Parenthood and the issues it serves, calling us into the public sphere for more than 50 years. Beginning in 1963, when our General Assembly passed its first statement of conscience supporting abortion rights in 1963. UU clergy at that time were active in a group called the Clergy Consultation Service on Abortion, helping clinic providers and women get the support and services that they need. Roe versus Wade found an early welcome and support, forging its case in the basement of First Unitarian Universalist Church in Dallas. Our UUA again made history among religious organizations when we endorsed reproductive justice as a congregational study action issue at our 2012 General Assembly, widening the focus and action far beyond individual abortion rights. We were the first national religious body to adopt this issue as a focus. The framework of reproductive justice is based on inclusion, intersectionality, and human wholeness. It seeks reproductive and sexual wholeness of all people and communities, engaging the impact of our personal identities across race and class, ethnicity, gender and gender identity, sexual orientation, parenthood, economics, and more, all of those identities that we hold. The reproductive justice movement was born through a coalition of women of color, advocating to move beyond the predominantly white pro-choice movement. They saw a need for a broader agenda that included the realities and concerns of communities of color, who, as UU World columnist Darcy Baxter writes, share a history of government abuse and intervention in their reproductive lives, including forced sterilization, discriminatory foster care enforcement, and forced abortions on incarcerated women. Reproductive freedom requires much, much more than merely the legal right to an abortion. Reproductive justice operates through a human rights lens, promoting four basic rights for all people. First, to have the children we want to have. Second, to not have children we don't want to have. Third, to raise our children in safe and healthy environments. And finally, to express our sexuality without oppression. That framework acknowledges the core of Reverend Kukla's discovery after his Planned Parenthood tour, that we must shift our focus from individuals and individual choices to a sense of belonging, to a sense of intimate community and relationship. Individual choice is not enough when the system is stacked against you, such that access is not even an option. The reproductive justice framework guides us when we're advocating for reproductive rights to expand that advocacy to cover all the ways the system excludes. That columnist, Darcy Baxter, tells a story about when she was working in an abortion hotline, and she was talking to a young woman named Melissa. And Melissa wanted to seek an abortion and didn't know what to do because there was no access for her. She was poor. She couldn't afford it. There was no Planned Parenthood clinic in her area. There was no clinic for several hundred miles. And she couldn't even afford the gas to drive to the next town to get one. And so Darcy tells her, call the Unitarian Church. And the woman boxed at her for a minute. She said, no, I'm serious. They're really invested in these kinds of issues and supporting women. Someone there might be able to help you. I promise. I'm a Unitarian. Call them. See what they can do for you. What a difference to be a religious institution that an abortion hotline worker might refer someone to provide support, options, hope and healing. When state governments seek to close Planned Parenthood clinics out of a narrow, moralistic view of protecting life, what lives are they destroying by closing the only available health clinic for low-income women in a 200-mile radius? And who are those low-income women? They are predominantly women of color. And so we now can witness how these political acts divide us so deeply along racial lines. Reverend Rob Keithan, director of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, writes this. Reproductive justice requires us to see the bigger picture of who has access to resources and who doesn't and why. It calls us to understand how overlapping identities affect the lives of individuals and communities. It calls us to see the world not only through our eyes, but through the eyes of people on the margins. What does it actually mean to have a choice? Reproductive justice is a call to action. A call to witness, to support, to advocate, while recognizing all the ways the system excludes. Excludes the poor, women of color, single mothers, same-sex couples trying to start families, transgender youth and adults seeking health care support. One of the many varied services that Planned Parenthood provides is health care to transgender men and women, regardless of circumstance or income. It's foundational to their mission that all people are entitled to affordable, quality health care, and they are the second largest provider of transgender health care services in our country. We should be so proud of that. And I've been thinking about this fact for a little while now, especially in the last several weeks. As a UU minister, I welcome the holy work of counseling someone through a gender transition. It is a beautiful, life-affirming part of my job. It is resurrection work, as Reverend Kukla names it. And I think it should be the job of healthcare providers, too. But I know the harsh reality. And I am horrified at the thought of someone being dismissed or shamed or worse, by their doctor for questioning their identity or disclosing their medical and sexual history. And yet I know it happens. All too often it happens. As we witness our society get so worked up over gender and bathrooms, we find ourselves at a crisis moment of hate and exclusion. Just the other day, a dear friend of mine named Zell posted that he walked into an airport men's room. Zell has long shoulder-length hair, and someone said, "This is the men's room." It was an embarrassing and hurtful moment for both of them. So here we are at this crisis moment, and I cannot help but ask myself, what if it were my child? My child like Morris. How would I want my child to be treated by society at large, by his doctors and his church? To whom could my child turn? That is why I stand with Planned Parenthood. I have always stood by Planned Parenthood because they have always stood by me. For as long as I can remember, I have seen and experienced Planned Parenthood as the place that holds up women, empowering us to exercise our freedom over our own bodies and healthcare choices, reminding us and society at large that we matter, we choose. Planned Parenthood stands by so many whom mainstream society has shoved to the margins. They stand for the power of education, knowing how our bodies work, men and women, girls and boys, how contraception works, how intercourse works, what sexuality means, and what consent looks like. Understanding the fluid continuum of gender identity and expression and who we love. And knowing what the implications are for the variety of choices we will face in a lifetime. And that those decisions about our bodies are best made with education and information and not by politicians. Which is why we stand with Planned Parenthood in our commitment as Unitarian Universalists to offer comprehensive, age-appropriate sexuality education built on the rights for youth to have access to accurate information about their bodies. In fact, just this afternoon, our junior high youth OWL class will be gathering to discuss contraception, looking at a contraception kit provided by our local Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is now and at its roots has always been about reproductive justice and its inclusive, holistic, and visionary approach. Together, we work to answer critical, reflective questions addressing the needs of women, men, children, youth, and families. People of faith and no faith, we ask what supports are needed in our communities for people to make decisions freely. What might our communities be like were they free from judgments about sexuality and reproductive decisions? I am of the generation that grew up in a post-Roe v. Wade era. I have been so thankful and proud of this accomplishment by women and for women to claim the right to choose our own reproductive path. I've been blessed to have amazing role models paving the way and breaking glass ceilings for me and my peers to make greater economic strides, greater strides in equality and freedom. And yet, I have also watched as our rights and our bodies are continually subjected to political maneuvering and moralizing, largely by men. Our bodies continue to be under attack every year, whether it's closing clinics, requiring waiting periods, requiring ultrasounds, or ridiculous and hurtful statements about rape, sexual orientation, and gender identity. As Unitarian Universalists committed to a pluralistic understanding of our faith and the world, we are called to lead the religious left in supporting reproductive justice. It is religion that has caused a good deal of damage when it comes to issues of health and sexuality. But rather than choosing to back away and disengage, we religious liberals can embrace our life-saving message and claim our space in the struggles for wholeness, healing, and transformation. We are a faith of freedom and the right of conscience, honoring each person's capacity to make her own sacred decisions and offering unequivocal moral support in doing so. We are a faith grounded in justice, recognizing the sanctity of human dignity and our covenantal promises to uphold our interconnectedness, knowing that injustice done to one is injustice done to all. We are a faith that upholds sacred sexuality, that teaches its children we are all sexual beings and that our sexuality is both a sacred and a powerful gift, full of creative possibility when it is honored in all of its complexity and diversity. And we are a faith that lifts up a reverence for life, for the magic of mystery and wonder that surrounds us, stewards of our interdependent web which sustains all of life. We affirm the experience and identity of women and others and proclaim that public policy should do the same. We, too, can be resurrection workers. That is what our faith stands for, and that is why I stand with Planned Parenthood. Amen.